Yo, 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 what up, y'all? This is your boy, Ricky Romance, and this is the Ricky Romance No Filter Podcast. That's right, y'all. We back, and we better than ever. You know what I'm saying? The number one podcast on iHeartRadio. Let's go.
What's good, y'all? This is Ben J. Newboy, and you're listening to the Ricky Romance No Filter Podcast on iHeartRadio. 100 folks.
Yo, 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 what up, y'all? It's your boy, Ricky Romance, and this is the Ricky Romance No Filter Podcast on iHeartRadio. That's right, y'all. And we back with another exclusive interview. Today's guest is, man, he's a legend.
Legend in his own mind. A pimp with no nose.
Yo, Raz, I be trying to come with these complex introductions, man, and I just don't be getting them right, man. So, without further ado, y'all, I'd like to introduce, man, the legendary West Coast rap legend, Raz.
Yeah, hear all the applause, man. The world is screaming out loud right now. I think a dog barking. That was nice. Yeah, see, there's a dog barking.
What's up, man?
Oh, man, all is well, man, right now. I'm just out on the patio at the family house, at the family estate.
Man, Raz Killers, bro. Like, it's crazy to be able to be talking to you right now. It's crazy to be able to say, you know, I mean, it was Tupac, you know, then there's Snoop Dogg, then there's Raz Cat.
Well, that's a great, you know, person to put me, you know, in the same lane with. Pac was older and way more legendary, but, you know, I'm part of that digital family, so salute, you know, that whole family, rest in peace, Shanti. And yeah, you know, I used to get that comparison a lot, like, you know, like who was running around L.A., you know, kind of, you know, just kind of some real cool shit. So, you know, I love the company, man. I appreciate you.
Let me ask you a question, man. When you first started rapping, how old were you?
Let me tell you the truth, bro. I almost had my first deal around 14. I was like 14, acting like I was 16. Like, so 14, 15-ish, something like that. And that ended up being Far Side still. So, yeah. And then once I got, I went to Juvenile Hall and all that. And then by the time I got out, Coolio was popping. And by then...
So wait. So who gave you your break? Who gave you your first break?
My first break with that deal was crazy. And Prince almost signed me, rest in peace.
The purple God himself?
Yeah, the purple God himself, man. But then, it was too rough around the edges, so they left me alone. And then, just too cussing and shit. I was, you know, just not... You know, it wasn't for Prince, but they liked my style or whatever, so they had some interest in me in there.
So would it be safe to say that would you give the credit to Prince for breaking?
No. The people that helped me do everything back then was indirectly the boys, Hakeem, and the brothers.
Oh, snap.
So the boys, and then...
For real?
Yeah. From there, that allowed me to have some music and stuff, and that trip got me the Battle Cat.
Wait. Hold on. So, your first records was with the boys?
Yeah, and their whole squad, yeah.
And so from there, you was able to get it going? So, would it be safe to say that you got your break rocking, you know, fucking with the boys?
Yeah, man, I think so. Yeah, I think that's
crazy. That
might be better. Yeah.
That's crazy because Brandon Adams is a really good friend of mine, and my auntie lived on Cedar off of Centinella, and he lived right across the street. So that's how me and Brandon Adams became friends, and Bilal would be over here every day, and that's how me and Bilal became friends, and we all started hanging out. So that's just crazy, bro.
Yeah, man.
That was kind of like my first time really being around celebrities was like Brandon Adams. He had already dated Moonwalker, but I was already in the boys. And so, wow. Shout out to the boys, man. I actually heard they moved to Africa.
Atlanta. Oh, no, Africa. Yeah, fact. Yes. I saw, I haven't seen Hakeem. I was in Frisco, I think, and I saw not Bilal, the oldest brother. I'm sorry, his name's escaping me, but I saw him, we hugged, man, it was good to see him. But the Abdul-Samad, I think that's their last name. So
that would be crazy to get the boys to come back and do a tour, because we got the Kings of Legends tour. We got Soul For Real and Boyz II Men and Troop performing in Sacramento last night. And then we also had last night New Edition and Guy and Tank performing.
Right.
So it's a good time, man, for R&B, man. Shout out to the boys, man. I mean, they got hits, and it'd be nice to get a tour from them, man. Real talk.
Yeah, man, that would be crazy.
What was the first song you feel that really took your career to the next level?
I've never really had a hit. I wrote on like Coolio's album and, you know, stuff like that. And I was on soundtracks. But yeah, probably for me, the thing that got me some national exposure, I did the Street Fighter soundtrack, and we got a single out of it. And that was with the Wake Up Show. They produced it, Slam Tech. That was called Come With It. And that's what got me, like, back when it mattered, hip hop quotable, like the dopest lyrics of the month. So I was one of the only few West Coast people, and I was a new artist. I got the hip hop quotable in the source, and that song, Come With It, it was off the Street Fighter soundtrack, like the video game. So
man, people don't even know that it was a soundtrack for Street Fighter, you know?
Yeah, well, no, they may not know that, but they know Bow Down. And that was the B side to the, so we both had singles. So that was the first West Side Connection song ever. Not Bow Down.
Wait. You talking about Bow Down with Mac Cannon?
Not Bow Down. It was the other one. It was the other song. It was the first, I can't remember, the first song ever from West Side Connection was on the Street Fighter soundtrack. I forgot what the name of the song was, but our vinyl, because back then it was vinyl, when you sent out a single, and they were it was a double A side. So they were one side and our song was the other side.
You're full of so much great information. So, have you met Tupac physically?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, more than once. I was young, and we kicked it. My friend worked at a barbershop on the Shaw, Q. Q?
You talking about Bougie Q?
Yeah, Q. Yeah.
Shout out to my nigga Q, man.
As teenagers, just in the streets of L.A., and a lot of us clicked up, and then Q started cutting hair. So we'd always be on the Shaw. So the Thug Life dudes rated, all of them rated R&M. They from 40s, though. But anyway, they still neighborhood niggas. So we'd be out there kicking it with all our friends, and then they was already on with Pac. So we'd see them anyway. You know, looking up to them, like, you know, whatever. I'm probably, you know, 15, 16 by then, you know, 16. But I'm acting like I'm like 17, 18, whatever. But we out kicking it. And so,
I had personal conversations.
Yeah. He wasn't my best friend or nothing like that, but he had love for me. He thought I was a dope MC, so he always fucked with me. And Money B had already, I met Money B early on, and Money B, I was kind of like fathered into that whole clique. So Pac knew me separately. He knew me through Thug Life being in L.A., and then he knew that I fucked, you know, that I ran with the Loonies and Cletus Mack and Munn and Digital Underground, Real Tough too, period. So when I was saying it'd be super cool, he always showed me super low.
That's crazy. So y'all was, it's safe to say y'all was basically like in a part of the Digital Underground family. Y'all were like...
Well, he was 100%. And then the ironic part is that song that I told you with my first single that got me national exposure was called Come With It. It's it's two other people on that song. So it's Ahmad, back in the days, Ahmad. So it's Ahmad, me, and a dude named Safir. Safir was the dude from Minister Society, Cousin Harold, that wouldn't get out the car after BMW got shot.
You was in a group with Safir and his baby, though, right?
Well, that's later on in life. That happens later. But before then, I didn't know Safir. I just knew him from the movie. I'm like, oh, that's a pro from Minister Society that he didn't get out the car, Cousin Harold. So, the whole backstory is that Tupac and Safir were roommates in Oakland. So I knew Bo from so many, like indirectly, I knew Bo from every side. You know what I'm saying? So even when Come With It came out, that's his roommate That's Pac is popping, but that's his roommate, Sophia. And then he thug life, and that's my homie, braided in them. And then he came from Digital Underground, and I'm the little dude that's from LA that kick it, you know what I'm saying, kick it with money them. So, yeah, it was like that.
That's crazy. So you met Pac. Have you met Biggie Smalls, too?
I only met Biggie one time, and it's very brief. A big fan of Biggie's. Like, I just think there's some brilliance to this day that he dropped into hip-hop,
mm-hmm.
which is how to make a, like, he created the formula of the, he didn't create it, but they really zeroed in on making a structured hip-hop radio record. For better or for worse, they kind of created that with the singing, with the R&B, just how to make a hit record and how to spit lyrics. Like, Jay-Z took that blueprint, like, literally how to spit slick, but make it still market understandable enough for, like, the average listener. But then the lyricist, like, yo, catch that bar, he spit. Like, it wasn't, like, a corny hot single. He knew how to make, like, lyrical, but still commercially viable records. Biggie was very good at it. I know where you're going with it. I don't have to pick those. I would never do either one. They're both brilliant in their own right, and they both influenced each other, Biggie and Pac. They were friends. So Biggie wasn't on no ready to die shit. That's not what he was talking about before. And then there's other influences. And he really wasn't even on that Coogee shit like that. That was a Pac influence. And then Pac's influenced by Tretch. So we are all influenced by each other. I'm a fan of both of them. They both had...
Wow, Pac, you hear what Pac, you said? Pac was influenced by Tretch. People don't know that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We all look up to somebody, bro. You don't come out the womb and know that you want some Pradas or some Christian Dior glasses. You learn shit. You look up to people like, oh, he's dope. I like that.
Who'd you say inspired you to rap? Like, just, I'm going for this.
KRS-One is my favorite. KRS-One is my inspiration. That's my icon. That's who I look up to.
Wow. KRS-One.
KRS-One is the first person to me that is informing people and still gangster. You know what I'm saying? You got by any means necessary. I didn't know that was Malcolm X, but I see a cover and a dude looking out a window with a 9mm. I'm like, yo, that's gangster. But then he's still talking edutainment. He's still giving information that people need and still be street. He was a great balance. Same thing, the things that we like in a Kendrick Lamar. You know what I'm saying? It's smart. And you know, a J. Cole is smart. But, you know, the people can still dance to it. You can still, you know what I'm saying, you can gang to it. It's a little bit of everything.
Right. So, I know you did some, I know you did some time. I know you went to jail and shit. How'd you get caught up and end up going to jail?
Oh, man, no story. It's too complicated to tell. I would just say, it would just take too long. And half the time, I can't tell the truth because I will incriminate other people.
Okay, so how much time did you do? Did you get in
as a juvenile, as a kid, before rap? I had already done about it 2 years off and on. Once I was like, you know, teenager, like, but having a career signed as a signed artist, I ended up doing about another 4. I did 2 years twice.
So you did 2 years before you became Razzcast.
Yeah, I think I became Razzcast because I was in juvenile hall and CYA in county jail. My mom gave me a book, and I read the book, and that's what influenced me to learn and change myself. I was kind of a rebellious juvenile delinquent. I wasn't hanging.
Did you get into a lot of fights?
This is just dumb shit. I was just acting up. I wouldn't say I'm hard to deal with. My father would say I'm obstinate. I do what I want to do. I'm arrogant. So I do what the fuck I want to do, and sometimes you pay the consequences of doing that. So I was an arrogant, obstinate kid. I lived in Washington. McKinley, you mentioned McKinley Ave. Like, McKinley lived up the street from where I was at every day, my grandma's house. So, and then Spider Loke, too. McKinley Ave and Spider Loke, like, we all grew up together.
Wow. Shout out to Spider Loke and McKinley Ave, man.
Yeah, like we lived, like, literally on 99th Street. They lived on 99th Street. They lived off McKinley Ave. My grandma was closer to Wadsworth by 99th Street School.
So
I'm a little bit older than them. But yeah. So I was a Wads baby. I was hard-headed. I did what I wanted to do. We ran around and had fun. you know, I didn't step in, I didn't gang bang. You know what I'm saying? I did, you know, Spider stepped in the 9-7 where we live. But go ahead, bro.
I know you don't want to talk. I know you, I see where you're going with this, and I know you don't want to go into the detail, but like, what I'm trying to get at is being famous and being in jail, like, what was it like? Like to be Fast Cat, to be a familiar face.
No, I can answer that, bro. I will say this. I was locally, I had love in my neighborhood. I had love in the places I went in general. I was already kind of good at what I did. I could rhyme, I could dance. So I was always good. And the hip hop introduced me to a lot of different people from a lot of different places. Then becoming Razzcans and people saying like, yo, you dope, bro. I like what you do. For me, I went to jail and I'll give you two anecdotes or two experiences I had. I got transferred to prison, and like with everybody else, and when they search you, when you first come to the prison, they strip you out and the whole shit and all that. But one of the officers pulled me to the side like, hey, you, come here. And he walked to the side where nobody could see us. And he said, man, I'm a fan, Raz. You know what I'm saying? I'm a big fan. And he said, you know, black brother. And he said, man, are you sure? Because I was in mainline, like general population. I was in GP. And he said, you know, you are a celebrity. You sure you don't want to go to a celebrity situation? And I remember I looked him in the eye and I said, man, I'm born and raised here. And if I don't deserve no special privileges, that if nobody else get it, why should I get it? If I can't do this, you know, I messed up like a regular person, so I should be around everybody else. I don't want no special treatment. Mm-hmm. I think what I be. And he said, I respect that. I was like, you know, I appreciate it. Thank you. But I'm a mainliner. I don't want to be kidding now. Like, then niggas going to be like, he's scared to death. He PC'd up. I'm not PC'ing shit. So I went and I did my mainline. Now, I'll tell you after that. I made a decision that if I had to go to prison as Razzcans, I'm going to do it mainline. I also made a decision that I'm not here to entertain you. I'm here to do my time. I didn't come here to make friends. I didn't come here to do rap shows. So when niggas came and started doing the Razzcans and bust a bar, I said, I got a very, very easy answer to niggas. And I would say, my niggas.
We doing time right now, my niggas.
Well, not even that. I would say, also besides that, I would say, if you could go tell the war, the warden, that I can get, you know, the third time, you get my time reduced, nigga, I'll put on a show every day. But if you can't do that, nigga, what the fuck? Why should I put on a show, nigga? I'm here stuck like you, nigga. I'm not doing no shows here, nigga.
Mm-hmm. That's well said, man.
Nine times out of ten, niggas was like, damn, that's real, my nigga. I feel you. Like, nigga. And then sometimes some niggas be a little chill some type of way, like, oh, I'm like, well, whatever, my nigga, you know, not on no tough guy shit, just on some real, you know, man-to-man, real person shit. Like, bro, I'm not here, I mean, some niggas say that, you know, if they was rapping and shit, and, you know, that's the way I, you know, kept niggas on my back. I ain't give a fuck about that, my nigga. I'm not rapping for you. I don't feel like rapping, nigga. Ain't no bitches in here, ain't no club. Ain't no money, nigga. What the fuck you think this is? You think, like, nigga, I'm not doing none of that. Got me fucked up. I'm going to be here, be a regular nigga, and play these dominoes and take y'all niggas money with the dollar. You can ask about me, nigga, about, like, nigga, I was sitting here, nigga,
LA baby,
and make the best out of it, and take y'all niggas, I'm going to take all your food, nigga, or you going to get my food, because we gambling on these dominoes, nigga. That's what I'm going to do. That's how fast my time is. And we, you know, we had a...
So did it... How did it feel, like, once you finally got, like, to be back on the street once that situation was over?
Oh, man, it's a, you know, it gives you for me, it gave me perspective. See, I was already rebellious, so I'm not, like... I didn't start going to jail because I got famous and became some kind of tough guy. A lot of niggas is pussy, and then they get famous and act tough, and then they have to realize that they was pussy. I'm not pussy, and I was jailing before, so... For me, I understood that I could jail easily. Like, it doesn't stress me out and all that shit. Like, some niggas go crazy. Like, I watched a lot of niggas lose it. Like, And we didn't have a lot of time. You know, most of the people I was around, you know, 5 years or less. It's, you know, you go to other places because niggas dates is in the, you know, back then, you know, the equivalent now is like niggas got 20, 50 dates. Niggas is hurting. You know what I'm saying? But with us, it's like, you know, like put it in perspective. You know, niggas doesn't stand. At least you got a date. I had a date. So my whole thing was, yeah, this shit sucks, but let it be what it is. And what I learned about myself is I can sustain in there, but every idea you got, like what people don't understand about the thing about prison is you can wake up with a good idea out here, even if you're homeless. You could try to make it happen. And there, you can't. You stuck in the place. You can't go out and go, hey, look, if I could, you know, all I got to do is go over here. You can't get on the computer and order your shit, you know what I'm saying, and order that. You fucked. You got limited resources. So your opportunity to grow and make your life better is limited. And that's what I realized. It gave me that understanding that if I don't want to do nothing with my life, then go to jail. If you try to make your life better for yourself, for your kids, for your family, your mama, your chick, then you can't do it from there. And that's what I learned.
Man, wow, that is crazy, bro. I didn't expect you to say what you said, bro. Like, that was the realest shit you said, bro. Like, in so many ways, bro, you just like everybody else. Like, you really just are like a regular guy, but really you're not, though, bro. And it's just, you know, you have your solo career, and then you got, like, I mean, shit, you got the Horseman group with Cannabis and Killer Priest and Corrupt. You know what I'm saying? Then you got a whole nother group with Exhibit. Like, that's crazy, bro. Like you've been living your best life. Like, how do you go and be from one group and then going to be in another group? Like, how is that possible?
Well, you know, those things happen now, bro. You know, it's crazy, but a lot of that stuff now is 20 years ago. That was the Golden State thing. That was in 2000 and 2001 and 2002. And, you know, things, you know, run their course. And it's part of my journey, and I'm grateful. You know, I'm still good with my brothers. You know, we all doing different things now. Same thing, like, with the Horseman, we put out, like, during COVID, like, 2020, we finally got the Horseman album out, you know, and that's that, we did it, you know, but, you know, we're not pursuing that. Corrupt got a solo album that's banging. I talked to him yesterday, and I'll probably see him tomorrow, you know. We do songs together.
Man, you know, he just tell Dottie, man, you talk to Dottie, man, tell him he's going to text me back.
Oh, yeah.
Guy used to live next door to me last year. We were neighbors. We lived like 5 miles down from each other.
That's funny. I was over there. I'll be over there a couple of times. So I'm about to get out tomorrow.
I'll let him know.
Yeah, I think he did say that. I haven't seen
him. He moved. I ain't been to the new house. He moved. He moved off the block.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'll see that fool. I'll see him tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. So question, bro. So do you still do music?
Man, that's what I do.
Man,
I
mean, I like young kids that are just now finding out who you are, just hearing the interview for the first time. You know what I mean? So, you know, if I wanted to tell my kid, this is Razzcast, what would be the best song to play and say, this is who Razzcast is?
Shit, I would say play Nature the Threat, and then the blow they brain wide open. They like, this is Kendrick Lamar and J. Cole and Dope ain't the Gwigway. What is this? This is the craziest. So yeah, I'd play Nature the Threat first, and then reduce them down to some average people stuff. You know what I'm saying? But yeah.
So you still do music? Are you dropping an album soon? Is there
features? Yeah, man. I mean, my next project is, we call Gutter, G-U-T-T-R. So it's me, Havoc from Mobb Deep, and a brother that Eminem and Lil Wayne been talking really highly of. He's from Philly. His name is RJ Payne. So me, Payne, and Havoc got an album coming out. We just shot the single. It's called Roll Call. So it's featuring Method Man and Fame from M.O.P. So we just shot that video. It probably dropped by the time young people hear this. Hopefully it'll be out in the next, 3 weeks.
Man, you know we got to premiere the record on this show for the people. So what's it going to take to get the record?
Oh, man, I'll get it to you like 2 days before the video drop, before we do the blast out, I'm going to let you get it on top and go ahead and let the people get that.
No, man, we need it now, man. We need it right now, man. We don't want to wait, man.
I got to check with the squad. I got to check with Havoc. He's the producer. He produces everything. You want that Mob Deep? This is hard, though. The gutter shit is just great. If you love Mob Deep, you're going to really enjoy the gutter.
Dang, rest in peace, Prodigy. Damn.
Prodigy, yeah. That was our whole thing. It's really like a love letter and an ode to that vibe, that Mob Deep vibe. Of me being a West Coast boy, then I got my points of view and how I say things. It's an ill album, you know what I'm saying? We got
I don't know if it's a West. I don't know how many West Coast artists that I can think of that is fully embraced when they go to the East Coast. And I feel like you from the West Coast, but I feel like you're an honorary member of the East Coast.
Oh yeah, man. I mean, everybody always Snoop would always say that. He's like, they love you on the East Coast, huh? They love you. I'm like, hey, man, these bars. No, these bars are deadly, bro. You gotta respect the bars. So I love the East Coast. I love people that appreciate lyrics and bars. I get it. Some songs is catchy and you don't want to think too hard, but you know, sometimes somebody, just like when people go watch the battles, sometimes the bars that count, it ain't the beat. You know, I want to like, what is he saying? Is he saying some amazing shit? That matters to some people more than others. And I think culturally the East Coast, they created this gangster shit. They created this lyrical shit. So, for them, they have a big focus on bars, and they appreciate the fact that I care about bars too. So I'm grateful to the East Coast for that.
Yeah, that's what the fuck was going on with that horseman group. Like that was a crazy little mix up with you and Corrupt.
Yeah, man.
You and Corrupt candidate.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's crazy. For those that didn't get it, it's pretty much new, man. It came out like basically 2021 is when we dropped it. So it's a new album, man, and it's bar for bar. Like everybody's going after it.
I'm gonna say this in terms of bars. To me, my favorite rappers in terms of just bars, I would say you, Rupp, Cannabis, Cassidy.
Yeah, Pap got bars too, see, but I mean, you got your taste, bro. Even if you wouldn't have said me, brother, at least you know bars. Everybody there, go get busy.
Yeah. Especially Gotti, man.
Yeah, man. Gotti is something else. You gotta wait. I'm telling y'all, man, I'm telling the world right now, put y'all on notice, man. Corrupt got an album, man. This motherfucker. And I'm talking about with the beats, with the Dr. Dre and the DJ Quick and then the East Coast people and the South beats and Daz. Like, these records fresh.
I know. Woo. He got some real, real crazy records. I don't think people saw the best of Corrupt yet. I think the best is coming.
Yeah, I think the best is coming, too. I agree with you.
I feel it. I feel his energy like crazy, man. Dang, so you in Vegas. I gotta, man, you still smoke, right?
I roll my own little bugler cigarettes. I don't smoke weed.
Oh, I don't know.
I smoke prison cigarettes, like Rolly, which is the homies. Every time I see somebody, they be like, you out, right? I'm like, man, I know. I like these.
Man, well, I'm going to have to pull up on you and smoke a bugler. Get in, I definitely want to catch up with you, man. I don't know if I'm gonna be able to catch the show tonight, but man, you see, Lay, man, tell Lay I said, voila. You probably gonna see Rupp tonight.
I will.
I'm gonna Gotti tonight because him and Lay, they've been working on that artist together, the Sequoia artist.
Yeah, but the thing is, Rupp got shows. He flew out, him and Lele. So she said that they'll be back Sunday. So he ain't going to be here tonight. But I'm going to go with, you know, I'm going to call Chill from Compton's Most Wanted and call Wino, Recipes Coolio's producer, my big homie from my neighborhood. So I'm about to go. I'm going to call, you know, we're going to get all the fellas together. Hopefully a good bit of pull up. You know, everybody's going to show up and show out. So it's going to be lit, man. I know you got to go to L.A., but it's going to be a good one. But you said you went. You went to. Come on, man. You went.
I got it. No. I need to go to the city, but I'm on paper, so I can't go nowhere without my probation officer's permission. So I ain't going nowhere. The most likely, I will see you tonight.
Okay. All right. We'll see. And the other part is, listen. I tell everybody, man, give them their numbers back, man, because that's just another way for them to slow your money up. You know.
Yeah.
So, I encourage you, you know, yeah, look, we all, we grown now, so it's time to stop, you know, they say, like, there's a time when you got to, you know, go from boys to men, ironically, that I'm using that term, but yeah, man, like, you know, let's give them they paperwork back, they numbers back, so we can move around and go, you know, take over the world and handle the business we need to handle, so I encourage you to do that. So you could go what you know, you don't want to have to ask nobody want to go nowhere except your bank account. So, you know, I want you to do that.
Interesting. So listen, I ain't taking no for an answer, man. I need that new record that y'all about to drop. I need a snippet, man. Bars, man. Can we just get a bar? Can we hear a verse? Like, can we get... Just to close out, man, you know, come on.
I can't do nothing without, I ain't shit without my homeboy, Tupac quote. I got to check with the homie, but anything possible, I hit you back, we edit this up, be like, you know what, Brass did it, I got it. So I'm a go really fine, like, hey, man, can I give my homeboy, you know what I'm saying, just a little stepito, you know, the Ricky Romance, let him get this advance.
Right. Right. Okay. Well, man, hopefully we can make that happen. Man, it's been great talking to you, man. I want to keep the conversation going, but you know, people's attention spans nowadays. Man.
Sure, bro. So, TBA, short and sweet, bro.
So, on that note, I just got a special guest in the studio right now. That's why I just freeze right now. But man, so no, Raz, man, for real, man. I appreciate you, man. You know, I think we met through Badass, or was it?
I think so. I'm pretty sure.
That's I think Bad introduced us.
I think so. Yep, I think so. I'm almost 100% sure, man. And you know, he's a blessing, man. He's still a blessing. That's my guy.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Badass. And so man, with that, with, you know, the fact that...
Shout out 40 Glock 2. Shout out 40, dummy.
Shout out 42. I mean, I just that fact alone, man, I really, you know, I hold you in high regard, man. You know what I'm saying?
Same here.
It's an honor, man, to know you, to have met you in this life. You know, man, and
yeah,
man, you're just a dope individual, bro. And I just wish, you know, just much success to you, man. You know what I mean? Because it ain't over, man. You know, we just getting started, man. I mean, you know, hip-hop just made 50. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
You know, so we just getting started, man. And but this is the legacy time right now. You know what I mean? So, you know, man, I appreciate you, man. Allow me to talk, man. You know, and just at the end with you, man, you know?
Thank you, brother. And I hope I see you tonight, Ricky, man.
Man, you gonna see me tomorrow night. I'm gonna pull up on you, man.
Okay, yeah, well look, handle your business and then call me, man. I'm gonna let you know what it is.
I'm gonna catch you, man. You know, man, I like to always create memories. Gotta pull up on my brother, man. You know, man, you can play for something, man, one time.
Let's get it. That sounds like a plan. Right, let's do it.
You know what it is, my nigga. West motherfucking coast, nigga. West side till you die, bro.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yo, peace. This is Razzcast, and you're listening to Ricky Romance's No Filter Podcast on iHeartRadio.
Yo, what up? This is a world premiere. Turn your radios up. Turn your speakers up.
cause we about to get lit. After 29, you were fine as the time passed. Gangsta but mature, pour my 40 in a wine glass. On my grown man, I stack bands to buy land. You stack bands to buy a dance. Low vibration, beloved. Best be the owner or the DJ if you still every night clubbing. Some things get played out. Like trying to learn the newest dance craze while you tweezing your grays out. Amazed how the culture aged like fine wine. Remember Y2K? It was the
1999.
Common, quad X, and high tech. Back then you had to have skills to get respect. They say you mellow with age, that's hyperbole. I watch legends get on the stage and kill verbally. Notably the O to the G's we used to look up to. Now my kids the same age that I was when I looked up to you. Discovering a job called Quest and KRS. Raspid bars to fillet your flesh. Little dudes don't pay dues cause we paid y'all debt. And we gave y'all breath. Rap is 50 years old with more subgenres than jazz. More eras than rock, worldwide hip hop. Yeah. And it don't stop.
Hey, hey, what's up? This is your girl, Truth Hurts, and you're listening to my boy, Ricky Romance, No Filter, on iHeartRadio.